Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath, Easter.
I'm going to read Matthew 24:15. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed up on the earth from the blood of righteousness. I'm reading the wrong one, excuse me. It's supposed to be 24:15. Nice going, Ella. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. And then Daniel 12:11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Let me say good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
And happy Sabbath. And I think I want to say good morning to our friends online. I'm so glad to be here this morning to deliver a message. I think this is a very important subject that we're going to break down. We're going to break it together, break it down together. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will manifest himself in our midst. And our friends online, hopefully you're going to get the essence of what we're going to be talking about. Today is Saturday, the day of rest that God has set aside for his children to come in his presence to worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank you for coming out. And God, thank you for being with us. We will study together abomination of desolation. That is a very important topic. The word abomination is repeated 76 times in the Bible. In Genesis, this word has a cultural aspect, such as shepherds are not allowed to eat with the Egyptians. This is one aspect of the word abomination. In Leviticus, the word abomination has a health aspect, like in the case of unclean flesh that we are prohibited to eat or touch. Leviticus 11, verses 11 to 13, or Isaiah 66, verse 17, you would see what kind of food you can eat and which one you cannot eat. If you do eat the one that God says not to eat, like pork, this is abomination to the eyes of God. In most of the rest of the Bible, the word abomination has a moral and spiritual character. You go to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 11, or Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 26, you will see that abomination has a spiritual aspect. In Daniel, it is essentially spiritual or religious. Daniel 11, verse 31, 12, verse 11. We will study probably today Daniel 11, verse 31 that Sister Ella has just read for us. So, desolation. Because the title of our study is abomination of desolation. We just saw abomination. Now we will see desolation. The word desolate is repeated 148 times in the Bible. Okay? And then the word desolation 46 times. But if you take a look at it, you would see that they have the same root word. The word desolations, plural, repeated 11 times in the Bible. In Genesis, the word desolate, in almost all cases, concerns a place deprived of inhabitants or a person in desolation. So deprived of inhabitants, desolation or desolate, person in desolation, mental anguish. So desolation continued. In other cases, desolate has a spiritual or religious character. So either abomination or desolation, both have a spiritual or religious aspect that we need to see together. What does desolation mean? What does desolation mean? According to Oxford Dictionary, desolation means a state of complete emptiness. So, think about a place where there is no one to live, like people, no animals, no trees, and even no water. You would call it a desolate place. Desolation, a state of complete emptiness or destruction, anguish, misery, or loneliness. If I say I'm so desolate, believe me, I feel lonely. My wife is away from me, my kids, and then no job, no church members to count on in case of need. I feel lonely, desolate. I feel anguish, misery. In all cases, desolation has a negative sense. All cases, desolate has what? A negative sense. Let us pray. Dear Father, prayers probably have already been done on my behalf so that I can speak in your name. In your name, Father, speak to your children and heal the wounds. Bless our friends online, following live or in replay, and those that are not here, those that are sick, those that have people being sick in their family, those that have people who have died in their family, bless them all, console them, comfort them all. And let this word be a blessing to all. And help us to get ready for the second coming of Christ. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Abomination and desolation. When you think about these two words combined, they depict a very terrible situation. Am I correct? Think about the abomination and you mingle it, you put it together with desolate or desolation. It's a terrible, very terrible situation. In the case presented by Jesus, these two negative words predict what will happen, not to the world alone, but unfortunately to the church of God as well. The church of God has been desolate and will be desolate. I'm talking about the church of God here in Elmira, and anywhere else in the world. And I pray that you will spend time reading your Bible and spirit of prophecy. Don't sleep, please. Daniel predicted what will happen to the Israelites. Jesus predicted what will happen to the Israelites, our Seventh-day Adventist church, and to the world. We go to Matthew 24, verse 15. What does it say? Jesus is speaking here. Jesus said, "When ye therefore shall see thee," what is thee? If you would analyze it grammatically, what would you say about thee? Definite article. Definite article. Jesus does not say an abomination. Jesus is pointing out a specific abomination, a twofold abomination that will take place in his church. And if you will, across the Christendom, it says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation," spoken of by who? By Daniel the prophet, stand where? In the holy place. Where is the holy place? What is the holy place? The church. Somebody said it. Whispering. The church. Jesus said, when you see that takes place, where? In the church. Abomination of desolation. In the church. You just saw what abomination is. You just saw what desolation is. And Jesus said it will stand in the holy place. In the church. And he warns, whoso readeth, let him understand. So the warning of Jesus is, if you can read, read. And whenever you see abomination of desolation taking place in the church, understand. Understand for what? You will see down the road. Jesus is speaking here in this text. He said, the holy place, that refers to the church. Okay. Daniel 11, verse 31. That sister has read for us. Thank you, my sister. Daniel said, "An arms shall stand on his part," underlines arms, "and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength." That means those who bear arms will use their power to make desolate the church of God, the children of God, not just spiritually speaking, but you will look around and none to be found. Desolation. Arms, sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. We will see what is it. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. So what will make desolate the church? What will cause the church to be desolate? The abomination will make the church desolate. What is the abomination? Arms that shall pollute the church of strength. We will understand later on what I am talking about. In the original Greek version of the New Testament, the word daily sacrifice did not exist. Why do I say that? Because the word daily refers to the sacrifices offered every day to symbolize Jesus who would die for us. But Daniel is not talking about Jesus Christ. No, no. Daniel is not predicting something that would happen before Jesus Christ. Daniel is referring to something, an event that will take place after Jesus Christ. I need you to follow me closely. Don't sleep, please. So if Daniel is talking about an event taking place after Jesus Christ, he cannot talk about the daily. The daily, once Jesus dies, the daily is over. Daniel is talking about an event that would come after Jesus, not before. Warnings. Jesus declared to the listening disciples, let me come back a little bit to what I was saying. The daily refers to the sacrifices offered in the Old Testament. Every day, the people brought before the priest animals that represented Jesus Christ and in whom they would have forgiveness of their sins. Once Jesus died, there is no more need to kill animals. So there would be no more need for daily sacrifice. You understand that? Okay. So Jesus declared to the listening disciples the judgments that were to fall upon apostate Israel, and specifically the retributive vengeance that would come upon them for their rejection and crucifixion of the Messiah, unmistakable signs would precede the awful climax. I was talking earlier about the arms. I read it for you. The arms and the strength of the arms in the church. And now Sister White is talking about unmistakable signs would precede the awful climax. What is she talking about here? Awful climax. The dreaded hour would come suddenly and swiftly. And the Savior warned his followers, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Matthew 24:15-16, Luke 21:20-21, and you will find this in the other paragraph read before in Great Controversy, page 25, paragraph 4. What is abomination of desolation? When the idolatrous standards of the Romans, when you see standards, what do you see? Can somebody tell me what you see around that you would call standards? Nobody can tell me. If you go to the federal building here or any state building, what will you say? What will you see? A flag. The flag is the standard. If you see if you go to Haiti, my country of origin, and you see the flag, the American flag in front of a building, what will you call the building? It can be what? The consulate or embassy. But if you see the flag in front of a different building, another public building, you say that American gets the American country or the American government is ruling this country. When the idolatrous standards of the Romans should be set up in the holy ground. When you talk about holy ground, which country are you talking about? You're talking about Jerusalem. When the idolatry standards of the women's should be set up in the holy ground, then the followers of Christ were to find safety in flight, underline flight. Flee when you see these things. This is what the Holy Spirit has inspired Sister White. This is exactly what Daniel was talking about. This is exactly what Jesus was talking about. This is what the Holy Spirit is talking about through Sister White. Okay? When the warning sign still the standards of the woman's army, when the warning sign should be seen, those who would escape must not make, was make, must make no delay. I'm sorry. Those who would escape must make no delay. Throughout the land of Judea, as well as in Jerusalem itself, the sign for flight must be immediately obeyed. None, not one perished. Not one Christian perished in the destruction of Jerusalem. Christ had given his disciples warning, and all who believed his word watch for the promised sign. So let me ask you a question. What is the main sign we are waiting for to flee? What is the main sign are we waiting for to flee? To believe that the standard of the Roman Empire will rule over the world. What is that sign? You will say it. Many of us know it. Probably some do not. The little one or the new converts. But this is important. I never speak without talking about it. Jesus, Jerusalem compass. When ye shall see Jerusalem compass with armies. This is back then. Can somebody tell me when that happens? AD 70. Nobody, probably somebody said something. I didn't hear that. When he shall see Jerusalem compass with armies, said Jesus, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. If you are in the city, live. If you already in countryside, go further in, further away from the city. Because what? Jerusalem, which is the church, is compassed with what? With armies. Okay, let's go. Unexpectedly, after the Romans and their sisters had surrounded the city, talking about Jerusalem, they unexpectedly abandoned the siege when everything seemed favorable for an immediate attack. Jerusalem was compassed by the army, the Romans army, after certain weeks or probably months. They believed that everything was done. They were ready to surrender, but God's children were in the city. Some of them were not in the city, but not far from the city. But Jesus told them, whenever you see the city compassed by the Roman's army, flee. Now, was it easy for the disciples of Jesus Christ to leave the city when the city was besieged? It was not easy. It was impossible. If they tried to leave when the army, the enemy army was outside, they would be killed. So the compassing of the city by the Roman's army was the sign given by Jesus for them to leave. But not until I give you opportunity, not until I open the doors for you to leave, stay in. Okay, let's see. According to Britannica, the first siege began in 66 AD. The first siege. Okay. For the good of his disciple, the besieged, despairing of successful resistance, were on the point of surrender when the Roman general withdrew his forces without the least apparent reason. But God's merciful providence was directing events for the good of his own people. The promised sign had been given to the waiting Christians, and now an opportunity was offered for all who would to obey the Savior's warning. Events were so overruled that neither Jews nor Romans should hinder the flight of the Christians. So when the city, Jerusalem, was compassed by the army, God allowed his children to leave when the Roman general withdrew his forces without the least apparent reason. They withdrew, and the children of God who saw that just fled. God did that to protect them, and they recognized that as a sign to leave the city. Jesus had already predicted what would happen. Fled to a place of safety. Upon the retreat of Cestius, the Jews, sallying from Jerusalem, pursued after his retiring army, and while both forces were thus fully engaged, the Christians had an opportunity to leave the city. At this time, the country also had been cleared of enemies who might have endeavored to intercept them. Okay. Without delay, they fled to a place of safety. Without delay, they fled to a place of safety. The city of Pella, in the land of Perea, beyond Jordan. Apparent success caused doom. The Jewish forces, pursuing after Cestius and his army, fell upon their rear with such fierceness as to threaten them with total destruction. It was with great difficulty that the Romans succeeded in making their retreat. The Jews escaped almost without loss, and with their spoils returned in triumph to Jerusalem. Yet this apparent success brought them only evil. It inspired them with that spirit of stubborn resistance, to the Romans, which speedily brought on a terrible woe upon the doomed city. Now, I told you earlier, there was a first besiege of Jerusalem taking place in 66 AD. There will be a second one that will take place in 70 AD. This is not something that we should underestimate. The first siege represents the first Sunday law. The first siege represents the first Sunday law taken by Constantine, and also represents the first Sunday law proposed by Senator Blair, on the American Senate floor in 1888. But remember, there will be a second besiege of Jerusalem. If there will be a second besiege of Jerusalem, there should be a second Sunday law proposition made to Congress. Now, did the first besiege of Jerusalem succeed? If yes, then the second proposition of a Sunday law in Congress will succeed. We will come back to that. Calamities upon Jerusalem, second siege of 70 AD. Terrible were the calamities that fell upon Jerusalem when the siege was resumed by Titus. The city was invested at the time of the Passover, when millions of Jews were assembled with its walls. How many were assembled over there? How many Jews? Millions. We don't know how many. Sister White says that. A measure of wheat was sold for a talent. So fierce were the pangs of hunger that men would gnaw the leather of their belts and sandals and the covering of their shields. Can you imagine me, because of hunger, eating my belt because there's no food? Or eating what? The covering of my shields because there's no food? Sister White says the same and even worse will happen in our time. And if you read the first chapter of the Great Controversy, you will see that ladies who just gave birth to their children will eat them. And as I'm talking to you, they're trying to sell human's meat in restaurants here in America. This is not a joke. This is not a lie. This is true. They advertise it. People know it. They start doing it as I'm talking to you. Human flesh. Here in America. Lost in their sins. Okay. You remember that I told you that the second siege took place in 70 AD, where millions gathered together, where? Inside of the city. In what occasion? Passover. If the Jews believed that Jesus was the Son of Man, if the Jews believed that Jesus was the Messiah, they would never fall into that trap. They would never die the way that they died. Passover. Passover should no longer be celebrated. Because Passover was a symbol of Jesus who would come to die for us. Jesus had already died and resurrected. The first Passover happened with the liberation of the Jews from slavery and ultimately the sparing of the firstborn males of the Jews when the firstborn of the Egyptians got killed by the angel. So the first Passover represented Jesus Christ, who would have to die for us. Once Jesus died, there would be no more Passover. But unfortunately, 70 years after Jesus Christ, these people still celebrated this. At the destruction of Jerusalem, the Jews died in their sins. They are lost forever. Forever, they were millions. Millions. Because they did not believe in Jesus Christ. His blood be on us. The Roman leaders endeavored to strike terror to the Jews and thus cause them to surrender. Those prisoners who resisted when taken were tortured, crucified before the wall of the city. Hundreds were daily put to death in this manner, and the dreadful work continued until, along the valley of Jehoshaphat and at Calvary, crosses were erected in so great numbers that there was scarcely room to move among them. Jesus had predicted that, but because they didn't believe Jesus, unfortunately, this is what happened to them. So terribly was visited that awful imprecation uttered before the judgment seat of Pilate, "His blood be on us and on our children." Matthew 25, verse 20, 27, verse 25, Great Controversy 32, 2. Threefold union. By the decree of enforcing the institution of the papacy in violation of the law of God, our nation, says Sister White, will disconnect herself fully from righteousness. When Protestantism shall stretch her hand across the gulf to grasp the hand of the woman power, Protestantism, woman power, when she, Protestantism, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, when under the influence of this threefold union, Protestantism, woman power, Catholic Church, spiritualism, evil spirit, Illuminati, Freemasonry, New Age movement, and all of the other secret societies, when Protestantism, evangelicals, woman power, Catholic Church, spiritualism, those three, under the influence of this threefold union, our country, America, shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehoods and delusions, then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan and that the end is near. We cannot talk too much about that. Parallelism. The time is not far distant when, like the early disciples, we Seventh-day Adventists shall be forced to seek a refuge in desolate and solitary places. Don't feel too comfortable here. I don't want to feel too comfortable. As the siege of Jerusalem by the Roman armies was the signal for flight to the Judean Christians, so the assumption of power on the part of our nation, America, in the decree enforcing the papal Sabbath will be a warning to us. What was the warning for the Jews to leave Jerusalem? Don't forget that Jerusalem was besieged. After a period of time, the army just left to allow God's children who were in the city to escape, to flee. Likewise, when America votes a Sunday law We know what we ought to do. Eh? What we ought to do, my friends. What do we have to do? Don't talk. Flee. Where to flee? You said what? Out in the wilderness. You said that? Good job. Out in the wilderness. Where's the wilderness? Mountains. And we have plenty of mountains around here. Flee. Okay. It will then be time to leave the large cities preparatory to leaving the smaller ones for retired homes in secluded places among the mountains. There will be no buildings over there. Prevailing iniquity. This is our problems. Transgression has almost reached its limit. Confusion fills the world. Am I correct? Isn't it true? Confusion fills the world, and a great terror is soon to come upon human beings. The end is very near. We who know the truth should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as what? An overwhelming surprise. This is from the Bible. There will be an overwhelming surprise that will strike everyone. But those who have the truth should not be surprised, because we are already ready for it. That's why every time I come here on this pulpit, I do not cease talking about these subjects, because I know that they are of great importance for our salvation. What's going on here? What's going on? Let's go. Thank you. We are standing upon the threshold of great and solemn events. Prophecies are fulfilling strange eventful history is being recorded in the books of heaven. Everything in our world is in agitation. There are wars. Ukraine, Russian. Rumors of wars. North Korea is doing its most to trigger a war in the South Pacific. Taiwan, China, the mainland China, and America interposed. He said, "You cannot. If you do, I will strike." America said to Russia, "If you just use one atomic bomb, I will strike as well." Wars, rumors of wars. Nations are angry, and the time of the dead has come that they should be judged. Events are changing to bring about the day of God, which hasteth greatly. Only a moment of time, as it were, yet remains. But while already nation is rising against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, there is not now a general engagement. As yet the four winds are held until the servants of God shall be sealed in their foreheads. Then the powers of earth will marshal their forces for the last great battle. We have at least two great divisions of power here on earth. You have America with the rest of the Western countries, and many countries in Central America, probably some countries in Africa. And you have another one led by China or Russia, with Iran, with North Korea, probably with some other Asian countries. They they are marshaling now all together for a final fight, a final war. But God will not interpose. There will be blood everywhere except for those who flee. The beginning of sorrow, Jesus said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and in diverse places." Pestilences, did you see how many cows have lost their lives 2 months ago? More than 3,000 to 10,000 died in one night. Here in America, what is the place? I don't remember. You can Google it. I saw them with my own eyes. People are complaining. 3 to 10,000 cows in one place died in one night. Pestilences, earthquakes. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The death decree predicted. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Now, nations is not a country. Nation is church. You, church members, you will be hated by every other denomination. Believe me, that will happen. They already don't, they don't love you as I'm talking, because we are talking too much about a Sabbath, 7 day Sabbath. They talk about Sunday Sabbath. They cannot show it in the Bible. They hate you. Every Saturday they see you going to church. They don't like that. They don't like that. Betrayal on every side. "Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Church members will betray one another. Family members, wife, husband, children, parents. We need to be careful. I've been telling you. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." I was watching a video where the owner of 3ABN was talking about two topics. He was talking about the LGBT movement and the abortion people. Why? Because in our own institution, Loma Linda, the president of Loma Linda, celebrated 1 month of pride. In our own church. And he put the statement out so that everybody can see it. He was happy celebrating 1 month. What? Pride. Do you know what pride is? He was celebrating the gay and lesbian and LGBT people. Seventh-day Adventist. Can we do that? That's why the president, even the president of General Conference, was insulted because of that. Iniquity abound. The love of many shall wax cold. And we cannot even talk about it, because if we do, there will be someone offended. Endure unto the end. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved," said Jesus. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." To finish, let me wrap it as fast as I can. Today is 5th of November, am I correct? Tomorrow is 6th. Monday is 7th. Tuesday, the election day, will be 8th. This day, This coming November 8th, religious and political leaders will gather on Mount Sinai, where they will adopt 10 plus 1 commandments. I need you to go, I'm asking you please to go to the internet, put 10 plus 1 commandments. Go to YouTube, go to Google, go to Facebook, get this. What does Mount Sinai recall you, brethren? You cannot say. Okay, for you who said it, exactly. It recalls us that Moses got the written 10 commandments from God. So these people now, instead of the 10 commandments from the Lord, these people convened to legislate their own commandments, among which is the climate change commandment. What is the climate change commandment? It's about Sunday Sabbath. First reminder. I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, that Sister White had predicted that the Sunday law will be enacted thanks to the natural disasters that are destroying men, their livestock, houses. Who is causing these disasters? The principal author of the disasters is the devil. The second, the transgressors of God's holy commandment. Do we have many disasters around? Yes. Consider with me. We just saw that the abomination of desolation that Jesus referred to has a twofold accomplishment, but one principle. The first accomplishment took place in 70 BC when the Roman army fulfilled the prophecy just made concerning Jerusalem, the proud capital city of Israel. The second accomplishment will happen when Sunday law is voted in the American Congress. But there is something that I want you to consider with me. Second reminder. We saw earlier that Jerusalem was besieged by the Roman army a first time, 66 AD. When all hope was finished for the Jews inside of the city, suddenly the Roman army precipitously, hastily left the besieged Jerusalem. Third reminder, about 4 years after the Roman army came back, this time for good, the city was besieged again. You know the rest of it. All God's children were already retired in safe places. They blessed on their rest bill. May 25, 1888, there was a movement in favor of a Sunday law in the American Congress. By God's grace, it was defeated. First, the defeat was the result of an assault made on it by one of our pioneers who went to Congress to make his case. His name is Alonzo T. Jones, who was a devoted SDA teacher. In that year, there was a great movement orchestrated by Sunday keeping people to ask Congress to pass that law. Senator Blair took up that bill to have it passed. It was called the Blair Sunday Rest Bill. This is it. This is part of it. I'm not going to talk about it. But it says, a bill to secure to the people the enjoyment of the first day of the week, commonly known as the Lord's Day, as a rest, day of rest, and to promote its observance as a day of religious worship. History of Sunday law. The Roman Emperor Constantine I, a convert to Christianity, introduced the first civil legislation concerning Sunday in 321 AD when he decreed that all work should cease on that day except that farmers could work if necessary. The law aimed at providing time for worship was followed later in the same century and in subsequent centuries by further restriction of Sunday activities. That is how we have now the blue laws all over America, both from Blair's bill and the subsequent Sunday laws voted in history after Constantine I. We saw that church and state union has never been a good thing for the children of God and should be strongly discouraged. It was church and state union, Ahab, the king of, and Jezebel, the priestess of Baal, that caused Elijah to flee his country to be hosted by a widow. It was church and state union. Herod, the king, and Herodias, his wife, woman symbolizes church, that caused John the Baptist to lose his life. It was church and state union, the Sanhedrin, and Pilate and Herod, that caused Jesus to lose his life. It was church and state union that brought forth the first Sunday law with Emperor Constantine I and the Bishop of Rome. It was church and state union in 1888 that was about to cause the life of many, including 80 Johns, if this infamous bill was not defeated. It will be church and state union that will cause us as Seventh-day Adventists to lose everything that we have. Liberty of worship in public, work, houses, food, and ultimately lives, either literally or symbolically, in the death decree when the Sunday law will be enforced in Congress across the globe. The abomination of desolation that Daniel and Jesus referred to is the Sunday law. If we don't preach now about that topic, brothers and sisters, let me say it again. If we don't preach now about that topic, when will we then? If we are not 80 Johns now, when we cannot be him tomorrow, when it will be much harder than it is now. At the same time, Jesus orders his children, when you see the abomination of desolation establishes in high places, flee. To save our lives as did Elijah, we must flee. If we want to obey the injunction of Jesus as did his disciples in 70 AD, we must flee. Flight, fight or flight. This is the last one. Many will have to be brought before judges to defend their faith. If we cannot do it publicly now, when will we? The desolation is right around the corner, right upon us. What will be our decision? Fight or flight? Fight or flight? Fight or flight is a well-known stress response that occurs when hormones are released in our body, in your body, prompting you to stay and fight or run and flee danger. Will we fight for our faith or run because we deny Christ to save our lives? Soon it will be very hard to find church members in the church buildings and in the communities. They will be swept away by fierce persecutions. The church buildings will be desolate, empty, void. Where will we be at that time, church members? Will we hide in ecumenism? Or will we flee to save our lives with compromise? Beloved, the world is come to an end. Will we die in the world with the world? Or we will die to honor God and his commandment? If you understand this message, please be wise. Understand this message. Prepare your lives. I promise you, if you endure to the end, you will be saved. God bless you. Let us pray. Dear Father, we heard your voice through this message. The abomination of desolation is right around the corner. And the sign is to flee, not in ecumenism, but in Jesus, wherever he wants us to go. I pray that we would be wise enough to understand the sign, to say it, and to practice. As we're going to go home, please be with us. Everyone driving and walking, and with every of your children across the globe, prepare us for what is about to strike, that we would not be among those who will be overwhelmed by the surprise. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.